I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Thanks for coming back. I appreciate it. Today, I decided to reach out to the fam. FAM. Remember back in the day, a couple episodes ago, maybe before Christmas, actually, I brought on my son Jack and his friends, and they call themselves the FAM, which is short for family because they are really tight fellas. They do things together. They try and have fun together. They try and learn together. They're all in STEM programs. They're in Scouts. They're leaders, and everybody out there responded really well to the FAM. You liked everybody's point of view, and I decided to ask Jack and one of his good friends, Noah.
Yep.
Noah, tell us who you are.
I'm Noah. I'm 16. I go to Brick Memorial High School. I'm in the STEM program with Jack.
Excellent. Jack Tigg?
I'm Jack. I'm a sophomore at Brick Memorial as well. I'm in the STEM program. I'm a Boy Scout. I'm glad to be back.
Excellent. So when they say STEM, for some people may not know what that means. That's science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, correct?
Yep.
STEM has become a huge educational component in many locations. In the boys' high school, they started a STEM academy, which is really a specialization within the high school curricula for guys and girls who want to study science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, which is now you're starting to see there's a lot of money available for college for STEM people. You're seeing there's competitions for STEM because STEM is really what moves our society forward technologically and as far as building and engineering and trying to do the right thing as we go into a different age where we now have all kinds of programs and we build things differently, we understand stuff. So STEM is excellent, it's my point. So Jack and Noah are here, and I want to thank them for coming in. What I want to talk about, and I think what's important for everyone out there in, you know, Chasing Justice Land to hear, is the point of view of young people who are not the guys and girls who are just screaming and hollering, climate change, MAGA, 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 screaming like nuts. These are young men who I can tell you, they are reasoned, they are calm, they are patriotic. They are young men who are looking to the future and they understand what America is supposed to be about. Now, I'm not saying that other young people who do those other kind of things don't get it, but I think these guys are more traditional in that kind of way. Jack, you and I have had a lot of these conversations. How would you see yourself? Do you see yourself as more as a progressive or more as a traditional American young man? Where do you see yourself?
I think I definitely see myself as more of a classical American and kind of fitting in with the classical liberalism and libertarianism rather than more new modern and postmodern progressivism.
More like socialist. You're not a socialist.
That's correct.
So when you say you are a liberal, you don't mean in today's version. You mean like a liberal education or
classical liberal.
Classical
liberal. Which would be a lot of philosophers from the Enlightenment, like John Locke or Adam Smith. They're more classical liberalism, which is what now we would say is libertarianism or conservatism.
Right. It's funny how things change over time, isn't it? I was talking last week and I said, you know, Ronald Reagan was originally a Democrat. And Ronald Reagan is probably the bellwether. He is the benchmark of modern conservatism. I know they say Goldwater is, but I think for most of us in our listening world out there, we remember Reagan. Reagan was the gold standard for conservatism. And Reagan once said, as a Democrat, when he left and came to the Republicans, he says he didn't leave the Democratic Party. They left him. So, Noah, where do you think you are? What do you think you're about? At 16 years old, what do you see for America? Are you a traditionalist, a progressive? What do you think you are?
I think I would fall into the same category as Jack. You know, every time we have conversations like this, we do agree on a lot of things.
So you guys actually have conversations about politics in America?
Yes. Like, okay. The other night we watched the State of the Union. Well, we started watching it together, but then we stopped talking because we were on Xbox.
See, now that's a perfect blend of modern people. Now, I sit here and I say, I get it, because I see Jack's on Xbox, but I see he's on Xbox. He's answering me on a text and a phone. He's got his brothers calling him on stuff, and he's watching stuff. So you guys are amazing how you're really connected into all of this. Jack, when I ask you about where do you see the Constitution. What is the Constitution to you? At 16 years old, what does that mean to you? Does it have any meaning?
I think it means a lot to me, and I think especially in the context of American lawmaking, I think that should definitely be the most supreme document. So that should be what we base everything else off of, at least from a policy standpoint.
So do you see the Constitution as a living, breathing document that changes with time? Or do you see it as more a centered document for which we should base things on? Or do you think it changes over time?
I think it should definitely be. We should consider it the way the founders intended. I think there's a little bit of wiggle room for modern advances, but I still think we should stick to more strict interpretations of how we believe the founders meant it to be interpreted.
Okay. What about you, Noah? What do you think about that?
I'd have to agree with that. Like, they had a pretty good basis of life in the Constitution, but, you know, as we advance in technology, there are things that they probably couldn't have even imagined. So we have to take things like that into consideration and how they might have interpreted it.
That's interesting. When I look, and I remember I saw a meme, you know, in the world of you guys, you know, I'm an old dude, but I see memes too. I'm on Facebook and, you know, Instagram and all these other places. I pay attention to that. And I saw one out there that was pretty clear, and it said, the Second Amendment is not about hunting. It's really not even about guns. It's about a philosophy that says you can throw off a tyrannical government. Does that mean anything to you guys? I mean, I know you're different than the average 16-year-old kids. You pay attention to this, but what does that mean to you to throw off a tyrannical government? I mean, how do we have that in America today?
Well, I think the founders, coming off of having a revolution with the British, they just wanted to ensure that everyone in the United States would be protected from that happening again. And so I think they saw the reality of even they could turn tyrannical. And so I think we can see that now. Our government isn't free of corruption. And so if that got to the higher levels of the government, then there could be a need for the people to use their right to bear arms in a more classical sense.
That's interesting when you say that, because and you and I have talked about a lot of things, but we haven't actually spoken about that. I see and I go, what is the interpretation from back in the day? And I'm pleased to hear you guys hear this kind of thing. So Noah, let me ask you something. Do you think there are all kinds of rights hidden in the Declaration, I'm sorry, the Constitution, or do you think basically as life changes, all right, we see lifestyle changes and we want to now say, well, the Constitution says it really does fit in A, B, C, and D. Do you see that? You said there was, Jack, you said there was room for a little bit of wiggle room. What do you think that means, Noah?
Well, like back then, let's say they hunted with and fought with muskets. Mm-hmm. So like now we have semi-automatic guns, automatic guns. We have muzzle loaders. They had muzzle loaders too, but like, so there's like a line where you could probably cross over, where you're straying too far from it. Like for example, I will say this: a lot of people think that we don't need automatic rifles, and I would say we don't need automatic rifles.
I would agree with you.
There's not really a purpose for a civilian to have an automatic rifle. To have a semi-automatic rifle, though, I think that's completely viable.
Sure. Isn't just about any handgun with multiple rounds and semi-automatic? Every time you pull the trigger, it fires yeah. around. That's pretty interesting.
And we do have bans on automatic rifles, and so I think that's where the little wiggle room comes in. And that's also why we have the opportunity to add amendments to the Constitution, because as the country grows, and it's now a much more diverse, much larger nation than it was when it was founded, there's things that the founders just couldn't have fathomed that we have to deal with now. So I think that's why the Constitution was set up the way it was, with the possibility of amendments and with that little bit of wiggle room. But I think when you try and move that too much, then it becomes just kind of changing the document.
So what I think, Jack, I think that's really a great point. And I think the point you're making is that the founders built into the document a way to change it. You don't just change it because times change. And Noah, your point, they had flintlocks. They had these old-fashioned weapons. I'm sure they didn't think that was the only kind of gun that would ever exist. But they were talking about the ability to have a weapon to fight off a tyrannical government was their point. They happened to have flintlocks back then. And Jack, your point of the way to change this document is not to just have a judge make an interpretation, because you get a wacky right-wing or left-wing judge and they determine, one individual with a robe is going to decide what the Constitution means. I think that's a problem. But what you're saying is that the mechanism to add amendments or to change amendments is what the founding fathers thought of. If society thinks we need to change something so strongly, then as a country we can change. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And so that's why I think the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments, they're all necessary amendments. And so that was something I'm sure the founding fathers thought of adding amendments that would do something similar, but they didn't have the ability or they didn't have like the time to fit mm-hmm. that in. And so that's why the 10th Amendment was there, which allowed President Lincoln to introduce these amendments and then Congress to vote on it.
Amazing. No, you got something to say. You raise your hand.
Yeah, so one thing I have a problem with is when people try to, like you're saying, you know, we should all agree on something if we want to change it, when people don't know what they're talking about or changing it. For example, the Second Amendment. Most of the people that advocate for banning guns and whatnot don't know anything about guns. So if you're going to make an argument, I feel like you should know what you're talking about, because that makes me pretty mad.
I have to agree with you. Did you ever see, again, I want to go back to a picture, the internet, you know, how much TV do you watch? I watch the news, I watch nothing else. But when you look on social media and you look on the internet, you see they show a picture of a Ruger 223, which is a 223 caliber weapon, which shoots, 15, 20 rounds, and you can get a bigger magazine, semi-automatic rifle. And then they show you a picture of an AR-15 with the same amount of rounds, the same size of bullet. And people always look at that AR-15, they want to ban it. They want to ban it because it looks scary. Because people really don't understand about weapons. And we're allowing those people to make commentary. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So they should be educated mm-hmm. before they jump in and say, we should get rid of a class of weapon or, you know, because it looks scary. I get that. You look at an AR-15, that's a
pretty intimidating.
Yeah, that's a scary looking weapon. That will not kill you any less than the Ruger 223 carbine, which holds the exact same bullet and will shoot you just as bad. Because I used to use them on the assault team when I was on the SWAT team. We had Ruger 223s before we went to the AR-15s or the M4 Colts. So that's very interesting that you guys understand that. Jack, could you define for me the difference quickly between socialism and capitalism? And where do you come down on that?
Well, I think the main difference is the amount of government interference. So I think with socialism, a lot of people... they make the moral argument that it would be more fair, be a better system for the poorer people. But I think they're kind of ignoring the fact that it's still theft if you vote on it. And so just because if we as a society voted to become a socialist society, it doesn't mean that the government isn't still stealing.
Now, who were they stealing from?
They would steal from almost everybody. So if you, it doesn't matter how much money you take. Like, we have taxes. And so that's a necessary evil, I think we would all agree. But I think to the degree that they're trying to push it, income taxes of 90%, of like heritage taxes of 70%, things like that, I think that that definitely crosses the line into theft. And what happens if you don't pay your taxes? They're going to send men with guns to kill it, to come take you and take the money. So that's holding the American people at gunpoint and stealing from them. And I think just because you vote on that doesn't mean that it's any less immoral.
Right. So if the majority voted for something that was really horrific, we should go with that. That's the point. It's the opposite of what you're saying, right? Because the society could vote on something horrific, and we would say, well, everybody voted for it, and let's go. Noah, what do you think?
It's like a plan that you put together in your head, and it sounds great. But when you actually try to execute the plan, it falls apart.
Okay, so doesn't it sound great that everyone would have everything they need for free? Doesn't that sound great to a young guy?
Sounds awesome.
You're heading off to college in a couple years. Wouldn't you like to go to college for free?
It'd be awesome.
Who's going to pay for that, though, when it's for free? Do those college professors come to work every day for nothing?
No.
Does the school give you room and board and let you just stay there for nothing?
No.
You have to get fed, right? You have to have custodians clean the building. You need to have electric on. Where does that money come from if it's not for free, like some of these socialist people today say?
Everybody else.
Comes from everybody else. Okay, so that means you guys who are working really hard at school, you are keeping your noses clean, as the old saying goes. You guys aren't doing stupid stuff. You're not getting locked up. You're not involved with drugs. You're out there working hard so you can have some kind of a future, right? And you're going to be trying to make the best life you can for yourself. You want to earn as much as you can so you can have as much things that you want, as well as, you know, taking care of your families. So that money should come out of your pocket for people who don't want to. Specifically, in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, as they call her, Mark Levin calls her that, so I'm giving Mark that shout out because I love Mark Levin. He calls her AOC, and he said, basically, she said, you know, we should provide for people who can't work or who are unwilling to work. How does that feel, Jack? Somebody who's unwilling to work should get the same things as you. What do you think?
I think that that's, at that point, that's just full-blown communism. And I think that that's something that, although I don't know if everyone would agree is bad, but I think at least the vast majority of America would agree is bad. But I think that that's 100% evil and theft, just saying that because you don't want to work, that you should be taken care of by everyone else who has to.
Right. So, Noah, you're going to work really hard. You're going to fight your way through college. You're going to get a job. You're going to work really hard. And a dude who doesn't want to work, who chooses, I don't want to work, man. I want to stay home and watch memes. You should pay for him. Is that okay with you?
No, that's not okay with me.
Why is that not okay? What if he really wants to do that? That's how he fulfills his life. Why can't you pay for him? Are you stingy? Are you greedy?
It's just not fair.
Not fair?
Why should I put all in all this work thinking that's going to be for myself when half of it's just going to go to other people?
Okay, so we have 1 minute left, and let me go into another area, because you guys have talked about, and I have talked about, you guys working hard to get things you work for and you earn. Jack, when you are earning and you are exceeding what you need to live, you have housing, you have food, you have your education, and you have some extra money left over, is there any reason for you to give to charity or to give to your church or to help people who don't have anything? Or is that something that's not your business, that's someone else's problem?
I definitely think that there's reasons, even if you go the selfish route, helping poor people, there might be someone that's really smart that if they're not worrying about where they're going to get their food, they could really help change society. And so I'm sure that there's other non-altruistic reasons to give to charity. But even if you're looking for one that is more self-driven, I think that works.
Okay, so Noah, let me ask you a question. Here, you work really hard, you get a job, you're making a lot of money, and there are people who are working just as hard, only they don't have your opportunities, and they need food. Is it incumbent on us to help them eat, or is it incumbent on the government to take from you to make sure they eat? What do you think? Do you have any obligation to help those less than you, is what I'm saying?
I do, but to a certain extent. Like, it all depends. It really depends on what their situation is, you know? Mm-hmm. Do they have three kids? Do they all have jobs? Are they working multiple part-time jobs? Do they have one full-time job?
Like, so it sounds like you're saying, are they trying?
Yes.
To take care of themselves? Fellas, I think that's great. And I really appreciate you guys being here. I would like to have you here for another segment. And we'll talk about that on the break. But for right now, Jack Pangaro, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Noah, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. I'll try and talk him into staying for another segment, because it's really interesting to hear your future, ladies and gentlemen, because when you get your 60s and 70s, these are the guys that are going to be either fighting for democracy or running the world. We'll be right back here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutLoud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. Tonight, I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and we are in the midst of a house gathering here at our home. So you might hear some voices in the background, and I apologize. I hope it's not too distracting. We have our dog, Arthur, who's our rescue boy, and we also have another rescue here, Lulu, who's running around. She's a sweet little mix of, I couldn't even tell you what, but she's a sweet little thing. She's looking for a home. So we haven't had a rescue in a while. We kind of slowed down on that. I know I've talked about it in the past, but we got Lulu here, and she is a beautiful little thing. So if you are looking for a dog, if you want to get an animal for your family, a pet, I think it's a great addition to a family. It really can add a lot of love. But make sure, you know, go look at the rescues first. Go find a dog that needs to be rescued from a kill shelter or something like that. There's some beautiful animals out there that you can bring home to your family. So if you hear any barking, you hear any noise, it's Lulu acting up with our Arthur, who's been an absolute blessing to our family, as well as our cat, Percy, you know, Percival. Or, you know, he's a rescue cat. He was living in a tire, And now he basically has the run of my house here. He sits on the dining room table. I got to constantly change the table cover because he gets up there and he sits there. He thinks he's Kimba, like from back in the day. And only you old people listening to me will know who Kimba was. Kimba the White Lion from the jungle back in the day. So later on tonight, I have a couple of young men that have been on before. My son, Jack Pangaro, and a lot of you have read his article, The Veil of Civility, which was posted on the AmericaOutloud.com website. I've gotten great feedback on that article from Jack. I asked Malcolm Out Loud to post that on the website because I was so impressed with it. I think Jack is a leader for the future, as are his entire group. And we've had him on here before, the FAM, F-A-M, like family. They're a tight group that are really good kids. You've seen the picture on the website. You know, they say prayers before dinner. They're Eagle Scouts. They're in STEM programs. They help people who are less fortunate than themselves. They work really hard at school. They try and be good Americans. They're patriotic. They are the future of our country. And I'm hoping that the battle they're going to have to face, they are triumphant to keep America what it is. But we're going to have them on for a couple of segments later on. I've asked Jack and his friend Noah from the FAM to come on. And they are very well-spoken young men. They have excellent points of view. And I think you'll be refreshed, as I was, to hear how they feel about lots of different topics here in America. So a couple of things that I want to talk about. You know, justice. That's really the focus of chasing justice. And when I look out there, I'm seeing the revelations that have come out recently about the investigation of President Trump. If we do not see now as a people how horrific what went on here is, this is not just something that was, you know, it was bad, something for us to say, oh, I don't know what happened. You, every single one of us, has an obligation to understand what happened in this investigation. Because this was not just a case of, you know, one political party played a trick on another. This is not it. What is coming out now, McCabe, who was very, very high in the FBI, he came out recently on a CBS News interview, and he basically cut open the conspiracy and let it be known. Whether he did it purposely, unbeknownst to him, trying to save himself, I don't know. But the reality is, when he came out and said that you had members of the FBI acting way above their pay grade because they did not like Donald Trump, taking a poll of cabinet members to see who would invoke the 25th Amendment to remove the President of the United States, if that does not scare you to your quick, I don't know what will. Because I don't care. If they did that to Obama, I would have been just as scared, because if you have a group of untouchable people in high positions of authority using the levers of power and the things we have set up in our country to protect us to go after and remove someone just because a certain other group doesn't like them, that's not how this works, ladies and gentlemen. That is a danger to all of us. And as I've reminded us many, many times, when they did this to Donald Trump, I don't care if you like him or not. That's not the point. When they did this to him, he was a private citizen running for office. And they used all the power and levers of government to go after him, to try and destroy him, and then remove him from office once he was elected. They tried to undo your vote. Do you get that? I don't care if you're a liberal or if you're a conservative or somewhere in between. Do you understand the ramifications of what happened there? You have these people in political positions, in law enforcement, the Department of Justice and the FBI, who decided, because they didn't like the guy that won, they were going to use everything in their power to destroy him and remove him. Is that what America is all about? Do you realize that that's what happens in these third world countries when they have these coup d'etats? And don't doubt it, this was a coup d'etat attempt. When I heard, and I knew this for a while, as most people who were open-minded did, I was wide open to the fact that, hey, if Trump did something illegal, then he has to be held accountable for it. Everyone has to be held accountable for what they do legally. But if he did something unethical, if he did something illegal, then, hey, that's what the special counsel should find out. And if there was a crime, it should be investigated. And if that means he's removed because he committed a crime, that's how that one went. That's why we have the rule of law. You and I are subject to that. You and I are subject to the rule of law. You do something illegal and you get caught, you're going to pay the penalty. So if this guy did something wrong, hey, he should have been removed, and I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't be happy about it. But at the same time, I'd say, well, he did something wrong. You get what you get when you do something wrong. The reality is he did nothing wrong. He ran for office and he upset the apple cart of the deep state. Now, we've talked about that on Viewpoint with Malcolm Out Loud, what the deep state is. The deep state is these group of people who are in positions of power and they don't get removed. Look, who these Congress gets removed? Very, very few. How about these senators? Did they get removed? They don't get removed. They don't get voted out. They're there for 20, 30, 40 years. And they lord over us. This is not what the government was set up to do. And I know I'm going on a little bit of a rant here, but I got to tell you, this action by these people in the Department of Justice, McCabe, Comey, Orr, all of these people that we've been hearing these names forever and ever and ever, this was treasonous behavior. They were using these powers to remove a sitting president that people voted for. Do you understand where that brings us? Now, of course, we have to understand that the reality is lots of these people did this, I think, for one of two reasons. One, ideologically, they're leftists, and they believe that Hillary Clinton and her leftist policies were the right way to go. And therefore, they would do anything in their power to make sure she was elected and her crimes were overlooked and that Trump was removed. And number two, they were in it for themselves. They knew that if Hillary Clinton was elected, all of this would have been swept under the rug. You and I would know nothing about this. Do you get that? You would know nothing about any of this. It would have been swept under the rug and gone, and that would have been the end of it. And instead, what we have, we have the veil ripped off of one of the, I'm going to say, the biggest conspiracy that has ever happened in our country. This is probably the most dangerous thing that's ever happened in our country. And right now, no one's being held accountable. None of the people that did anything are being held accountable. Now, a couple of them lost their jobs for lying. But is anyone being held accountable for what they did to try and remove a president that people voted for? Not for due cause. The 25th Amendment was set up so that if a president had a mental or a physical disability and they could not physically handle the office, they could be removed. Okay, the cabinet would all vote and they could be removed from office because they're mentally or physically unfit. And this nonsense that they come up with, that, well, Trump is not physically unfit. He's not mentally fit to be the president because he believes there should be a border wall. And he believes that people should have to only come here when they're bringing merit. That is not someone who is mentally unfit. That is someone who has a different point of view than the socialists who want to have open borders so they get more voters. We can't ever forget that that's what this really is all about. These open borders are not about letting in good, decent people who just want a better life. It's about bringing in people who will vote for the Democratic Party. Now, I'm sorry to say that. You know, I can't look at facts as an investigator and turn that away and say, well, no, there's really nothing to that. It's all about hate. It's all about, other nonsense. No, that's what it's about. That's why they want to let him in. I saw a great, I guess, I don't know if it's a meme or something on the social media, where they basically said, if all of these people coming across the border illegally were going to vote Republican, Nancy and Chuck would be down on the border building the wall themselves to keep them out. All I'm asking you to do is, in the name of justice, is to think about these things. Is there any truth to that? Do you think if all of these people coming in here illegally would come in and they were going to vote Republican and they were going to turn the tide of the elections for the next 25, 30 years, that everybody on the Democratic side would be like, well, that's okay. Sure, that's fine. As long as they're coming because they're good, decent people, they just want a better life. Sure, they're going to vote Republican. Do you really believe that? This is where I have said over and over and over again here on Chasing Justice. And you know what they say? You have to say some things 3 and 4 and 5 times before the message sticks. All I'm trying to say is I'm trying to be an honest, patriotic kind of guy. I've always believed that our friends on the left have some good ideas. They have good hearts. They want to do the best for people. They just have a different way of getting there than people on the right. All right, so when I look at this and I say, do we understand people want a better life? Of course we do. How many times have I got to say it? If I had to do something for my family to live a better life, I would move. All right. If Canada had a better life and we had the life of a lot of the Central American people, that there's no work, there's no economy, there's nothing for them, there's no medical care, would I go to Canada? You're damn right I would. If I would try to go to Canada, I would try and get in there. And if I could sneak over the border and get all the benefits for going there, well, good for me. So I understand why these people are trying to go there. I don't fault them. I don't dislike them because they're Mexican or Central American. People are people. We are all God's children. The reality is we have to follow the rules, right? Our country can't just let every single person. They did a poll the other day. They would say there's 50 million people who would come here if they were allowed to just come here and walk up and come on in. 50 million people. Do you know what 50 million additional people would do to your schools, to your medical care, to the cost of living in our country? It would decimate us. And I have a hard time sometimes when I think about this and I say, here's people who are in need. All right? You all know I go to church. I go to church and the church says we should take care of everybody who needs it. And I say, okay, does that mean I should just be in favor of everyone coming here who wants something better and we should all live a lesser of a life so that they can have more in life? I think that's a legitimate question for us to ask ourselves. Should we live a less of a lifestyle so that people who have much less than us can come here and have a better lifestyle? Wouldn't that be the right thing to do? Wouldn't that be the most appropriate thing to do, to take care of other people? I don't know. I can't look at it that way. I don't let anybody just walk in my house and live in my house where my wife and kids are. I don't share my paycheck with extra families who come in. Now, that doesn't mean I don't give to charity. I do, so pay attention is what I'm saying. I don't just let people come in. Well, you need a place to live, so come on and live in my basement and take up my spare room and stay in my room and five other people can stay in my kids' rooms. I don't do that. Even though I know there's people out there that have need. Now, I do give money to my church. I give money to charities. I do help people who need things. But that's how I handle it, right? I don't just open my doors and let anybody come in here because that would devastate my family. That would devastate our home. It would not be the same. Well, it's the same thing with our country. And when people try and pit people like me and people like you out in Chasing Justice Land to say that you're a hater, you're a horrible person, you don't like people for all these different reasons, that's not what it is. And I know that's not what it is. But that's how we are portrayed. And I got to tell you, for the most part, I'm pretty much sick and tired of it. I have a pretty good heart. I have a lot of flaws, ladies and gentlemen. Lieutenant Joe Pangaro has lots of flaws. And I'm constantly working on them. I'm constantly praying on them. I'm trying to be a better person. But I got to tell you, I don't hate people. I don't hate anybody. I don't care who you are, what color you are, what religion you go to. I care about any of that. What I care about is how you behave and what you do. And I try and do the best I can to help as many as I can. And they put on us that we're haters. And that's just not right. So that's kind of where I'm at with this. You know, we have a lot of issues going on. The border, I think, if you have read my article, go to AmericaOutloud.com. My most recent article is Presidential Authority and Responsibility, the Coming Crisis, Constitutional Crisis, because I see this specific event, the border issue, is going to tear that wide open. And I wrote about it in this article, and I really tried to peel back the onion, so to speak, and talk about, you know, what is the president's responsibility? He is singularly tasked with keeping us safe. The Congress is not tasked with keeping us safe. The judicial branch of government is not tasked with keeping us safe. There's only one branch of government and one person in all of that specifically tasked with keeping us safe. And that's the executive branch and the president of the United States. And I'll say this till I'm blue in the face. If Barack Obama was the president today, and he looked at what was going on the border, the drugs coming in, the human trafficking, the criminal people that are coming over, and it's not all of them. It's a small percentage of criminals that are coming over. But if those criminals come to your town and kill your family, rape your kids, how many more should we let in? One? Is one enough? What if there's 50? Why would we allow those kind of problems if we can avoid them? So when I look at this and I say, if it was Barack Obama as the president tasked with keeping us safe, and he said, I need to build a wall, I would have to say, gee, I don't think we need a wall. But the man, the one man out of us 350 million people who is constitutionally tasked with keeping us safe, his responsibility, says we need a wall, I'd say he has to build the wall, and I'll support him in building a wall. because that's what the president's responsibility is. This is our form of government. This is what we have agreed we want to have. We voted for President Donald Trump in enough for him to be elected. So whether you like him or not, whether you trust him or not, that's the one person in this whole country of 350 million people who is specifically tasked constitutionally with keeping you and your family safe. And if in his judgment, as the guy responsible for that, he says we need a wall to keep the country safe, then we need a wall to be built, because that's what the president thinks. The guy who is responsible, that we all think is responsible because we voted for him and that's his job, we should support that. If you don't like the wall, when the next guy is voted in and he says we got to tear the wall down, then you tear the wall down. But right now, the one man out of all of us who was elected and is constitutionally responsible for our safety, Donald Trump, is the president. He says we need a wall. Then I say build the wall. So take a few minutes, go to AmericaOutLoud.com, look up Chasing Justice, and you'll find my article in there. It was fun to write. It was fun to get my opinion out there, and I hope you agree with me or disagree with me. You know what I mean? But subscribe to the radio station. Look me up. Send me an email, jpangaro@AmericaOutLoud.com. I'd love to hear from you all. So in a couple of minutes, we'll be back with our next two segments where we're going to have Jack and Noah on, and we're going to talk about some things going on in America. Thank you all for joining me. I really love being here every week. This is Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Hi, welcome back to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe, and I managed to twist the arms of the two young fellas and get them to stay for another segment, because as soon as we broke for the commercial, we were talking about some of the comments we made in the last segment and what things we wanted to add. And I can't be more thrilled, first of all, to have these young fellas here on the radio program talking to you out there. I've been lucky enough to have them in my life almost forever, especially Jack. Jack's been here since, he's been born. He's been mine. So I think that's awesome. A couple things I want to talk to you about. My company, True Security Design. True Security Design, we do threat assessments, security training, corporate training. We know recently in Aurora, Illinois, there was a horrific workplace shooting. You know, a guy was being fired and he killed five people in the meeting when they were firing him. I will never find fault with victims like this. But one of the things that I teach when I go out and I teach corporations what to do when they're trying to deal with employees who are problematic, who are trouble, who make threats, or when they're going to fire an employee, you have got to give common sense thought to the security needs of that situation. Because there might be a million people a day fired from their jobs, and only two of them result to violence. Do you want to be the people that are in that room when somebody goes off? And I feel terrible for these people in Aurora, Illinois. There was a young man in that group. He was 21 years old. He was an intern in HR. It was his first day at work. And they wanted him to see, I think, how do you terminate somebody? You're part of HR. You got to be in there. And this guy pulls out a gun and kills everybody, including that young kid. All right. There could have been some thought given to that when you're firing someone. You know, people go off there. Call me. Give me a call. You don't have to hire me. Give me a call. I'll give you some ideas of what you can do. So it's truesecuritydesign.com. You can email me. All my contact is on there. So take a look at that stuff. All right. Blue Magazine. The Blue Magazine, www.thebluemagazine.com, is the voice of law enforcement. For all my brother and sister law enforcement people, go take a look at this magazine. It's awesome. On top of that, if you're not law enforcement, you want to find out what's going on in the world of law enforcement, go take a look. The magazine's for free. It's online. You actually hear the words and the voice of people of law enforcement. It's really, really great. And I want to tell you about another one of my sponsors. This is A-Plus Technology of Bayshore, New York. A-Plus Technology is the leader in so many different areas of electronic integration. A-PlusTechnology.com. Go look them up on the internet. See what they have to offer. Some amazing stuff. So right now, I have Noah back with me here. I have Jack back with me here. And I really appreciate you guys coming back in. I know I would expect this from you guys. You know, you're not your average 16-year-olds. To that point, Jack, you wrote an article not too long ago that appeared on America Out Loud. And it got lots and lots of informational hits. People were talking about it on Twitter. They were all over. And it was called
The Veil of Civility.
The Veil of Civility. And I know you wrote that for another purpose than what I saw in it, and then used it as part of my good and evil thing. People have said to me they can't believe a 15-year-old kid wrote that. Who coached you on that, or how did you come up with those ideas?
In terms of writing, over the summer I had a writing tutor, so I did a few sessions with her, and that was just basic formatting and things for essays. But other than that, I haven't really gotten a whole lot of writing training. Most of my English classes have been literature and mm-hmm. things like that. But other than that, it was mostly just putting down what I thought mm-hmm. onto the page. I think a lot of that is the different things that I read. I just kind of try and focus mm-hmm. how I write to base on.
So do you think there's any chance that because your father is a writer and have been a writer for a long time, maybe I've influenced you in your skill in writing? Is there anything there to that possibly? What do you think?
Might be.
Well, there you go. I'll take that accolade right there from my son. You got to take him when you get him, ladies and gentlemen. So if you haven't read that, The Veil of Civility, go to AmericaOutLoud.com and look up under Chasing Justice, and you can go down. You can see all the different articles I've written. But you can see The Veil of Civility and read Jack's article. It's really awesome for a 15-year-old kid to have such a connection to the topic at the time, good and evil. So I thought it was really brilliant, and I want to thank you for letting me put that out there. I think people have enjoyed it, and I'm thrilled to allow you to give you that opportunity. You know, everything's about opportunity. We have to share opportunity. All right, so, Noah, you were saying something interesting on the break. We were talking about what our responsibility is as you guys are future guys who are going to be earners because you're working really hard at school. You're trying to do really well. You're in the STEM program. You're not slackers. You're not hanging around doing bad stuff. You guys could be doing all kinds of bad stuff. What are people doing at 16 years old these days?
Smoking, drinking.
Smoking weed, drinking beer, hanging around, getting in trouble, right? You guys aren't doing any of that.
I see that on Snapchat all the time.
Right. They're out there having fun, right? Wasting their lives. So I'm really, really glad that you guys are not involved in that. And that's on you. That's nothing to do with me. We all have our own personal histories, and you guys are really great, great young men. So I'm thrilled to hear that. You were saying something to me when we were talking about what's our responsibility of those of us who have achieved and who receive great remuneration for our hard work. We work really hard to earn things. What do we owe people who don't have what we have? And you were trying to clarify that.
So what I was saying was, you know, there are less fortunate people below you. So you might say it's your responsibility to help them, but who exactly are you helping? You know, there are those people that are unable. You know, if someone gets hurt on the job or whatever, maybe they're out on disability. But then there's people who can't work. So maybe someone was a veteran, came back, and they can't work. Let's say they don't have a limb or they lost something. They lost something pretty important. That is someone unable to work, I would say. That is someone who deserves to be helped. Mm-hmm. And then there's the people who are lazy, unwilling to work, mm-hmm. and I don't feel remorse for them.
Okay, so this is the people in the AOC bill who say can't work, as opposed to those who are unwilling to work. Now, you're not a cold-hearted guy. I know you're not. I've known you for many, many years of your life. But I think what you say, And I say this in the nicest way, the innocence of your age, coming of age, as you start to see the world and saying, hey, if people are willing to help themselves, I'm willing to help them. If people are not willing to do anything, why is that my responsibility? And I think, you know, I think that's an opinion that most people have. We just can't say it anymore. But the reality is, I don't mind helping people who are down in their luck. I've been down on my luck. I've had nothing. We're joking tonight. I ate Salisbury steaks in a bag for years. All right, after my father died and I was trying to take care of my mother and my brother. We did everything on our own. You know, I worked hard. There are lots of people who just for no fault of their own, don't have things. And those of us who do, we have an obligation to help them. And I think your point, tell me if I'm right or wrong, is that if people are really deserving because they're in a bad spot, you want to help them.
Yeah, I agree.
People that choose not to be in a good spot, that's kind of tough, right? Mm-hmm. To take somebody who's just, I don't want to work, so you pay for me. I agree. That's not a good thing. All right, so here we go. We're on the next level here of talking about what you guys are up to. So we're moving forward, and you guys said you were watching the State of the Union address. How much of it did you see, Jack?
I watched the whole thing. even though it ran pretty late, it wasn't too bad. And I think it was important to kind of see the different view of the people in our government that are making decisions for us.
Okay, so you heard the president. President Trump gave his speech, and you watched the reaction. Now, I've been on this earth a lot longer than you, and I know that when we see a State of the Union address, a lot of it is theatrics. All right, when your guy is the guy, first of all, when they introduce the president, everybody cheers because he's the president of all of us. Whether you like him or not, he is the president of America, and we know the rest of the world is watching. So everybody cheers. It's really good. When he makes political points, this is my agenda. It's going to be one side or the other of the aisle. And normally, people will stand up and cheer when they agree, and they will not stand up when they disagree. When you saw things like the president talking about, I don't know, protecting unborn babies who are about to be born, and the other side of the aisle is saying you should be able to kill those babies even after they're born, as a young person, how did that make you feel?
I think that that's morally reprehensible. I think as a young man and someone who hopes to be a father in the future, especially since fathers get very little, if any, say in what happens to their kids before and up to birth, I think that that's a very dangerous place to be going, and I think it's a very, very slippery slope.
Excellent. No, what do you think?
I think when you talk about this topic, it's very controversial, I think it can be sad that it's controversial. There shouldn't be much controversy if you...
And what do you mean by that? Where should we be looking at this? Your opinion. You have your opinion?
Me, myself, I don't really agree with abortion. Now, obviously, there are different circumstances. Like, let's say you were raped.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think you should be able to get an abortion? Probably. Because, you know, you had no choice. You didn't mm-hmm. do that. But let's say you're acting unresponsibly and you get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think because you were acting unresponsibly that someone else should be punished that's not yet born.
So who's that someone else? The baby?
The baby.
Okay, so when I say, and I we're all fighting with this. I'm 56 years old, and we're all arguing, trying to figure out what's right here. Jack and Noah, let me ask you this. When you think about that baby, and Jack, is that what you're thinking about, the baby?
Yes.
Okay. Are you trying to tell a woman what she should do with her body? Is that your point as a man, you should be able to tell her what to do? Is that what you're thinking?
No, I don't think that she should be able to make the decision on whether or not another human lives or dies, especially when that human has his own heart, has his own limbs, has his own blood type, and is very clearly a different entity than the mother.
Right. So you're not some misogynist just want to tell women what to do?
No.
How about you, Noah? Is that your opinion? You need to tell girls what to do, or
no? I have no business in telling someone else what to do. I'm here to worry about myself.
Okay, so but we're all agreeing nobody is speaking for that baby, right?
Right.
That's fellas, I got to tell you, that's you realize that's against your generation, right?
Yeah.
Your generation is not there. Mm-hmm. Do you people talk about this amongst yourselves? Not your group, but I mean out in your world, do people talk about this?
I don't think it's too often. I think on social media, people do a lot of posting and things like that. But I think that's also because you can just quote something that someone else said,
mm-hmm.
or you can post a video of someone in Congress, mm-hmm. and then you don't have to add anything to that. And so you don't actually have to be well-versed on the topic. You can just put something out there.
You can have something to say.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to have something. Now let's talk about that social media for a minute. Because I keep joking, you know, I call it Facebook and taking a facey, and, you know, your daughter, your sister, who's 19, says it's not facey, it's a selfie, and I joke around about that. How important is social media to you guys?
I don't know how important it is to me personally, but I definitely think to this generation, it's something that's really changed and shaped the world, because now it's, our celebrities now are people who got big on different social media platforms, mm-hmm. so I think... To me, personally, I don't think it's a huge deal. But I think if we didn't have social media, our society as a whole would be much different, and I think that would affect me a lot.
Interesting. What about you, Noah? What do you think?
I'd have to agree with that. You know, like, kids my age, we don't really watch the news. You know, we don't sit down and turn on the news channel, whatever news. Mm-hmm. We usually get all that through things like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And the thing about that is you don't always get both sides of, like, say the news is reporting on something, you might not get the full story, which is another big problem with news. You know, they show you something, but they don't show you everything, so then you just jump to conclusions, mm-hmm. and it can go haywire.
So if I was to ask you, do you think you see people your age, as Jack was saying, you know, repeating something that they saw? Do you think people get their talking points from social media and not really understanding something?
I do think that.
And how prevalent do you think that is with people your age?
It's pretty prevalent. Like, just talking to some of the kids in my grade, like, say someone, maybe not bullying you, but, like, I guess making fun of you is bullying. Mm-hmm. And then say you try to tell them something. Most bullies don't understand. Like, if you try to come up with a witty remark or something, they won't understand it because they don't know what it means.
Right.
They're just potheads.
And they come after you. So when people have a political opinion that you know a little bit about, and you hear this ridiculous other side, whichever side it would be, right or left. I'm not saying there's a right or left. I'm saying, but you hear that. How do you react to that when somebody says something that you know there's no fact to it?
I'm a pretty quiet person, you know. If you want to talk to me, I'll talk to you. I'll tell you my opinion. I'll tell you what I think of your opinion. But I don't like to jump down people's throats like other people do. I know a lot of kids my age, if you say something, they'll just go off.
And why do you think they go off? What's the purpose of that going off? To sound like they know what they're talking about? Does that give them some presence somehow? What does that do?
Honestly, I'm not really sure. Like, they might want attention. They might think they're really right. They might. I've never been in that mindset. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm right. No one else can tell me anything other.
That's a great point. So do you think, Jack, do you think you're open? Can someone change your mind about something you believe if they present you with facts? Can you be swayed if there's facts that you didn't know about?
I think there's certain issues where that's where I can definitely go one side or the other. But certain issues, I think I'm very to one side, like the abortion issue. I don't think there's any kind of evidence or situation where I would want to kill a baby other than the mother's life being threatened.
Okay, so what you're saying basically is things that you do know about or you've looked into. Mm-hmm. Right, for whether it's your religious background, your personal background, or whatever you've learned, those are the things you kind of have some principles.
Yeah,
some
I think
core principles.
The difference between some issues and the other, I think more moral issues. I think that's I'm stick to one side, but other issues that can be changed by facts and things like that, I think that's where there's more wiggle room for change and changing
sure.
your mind.
So if somebody told you something you didn't know, you'd be willing to listen to it, or you'd just shut them down?
Well, I think it depends on the way they're going about it. So I definitely want to do my own research. I wouldn't just want to agree or disagree mm-hmm. right on the spot.
But I guess my question is, are you willing to listen?
Yes.
So if somebody presented you in a proper way mm-hmm. and said, Jack, I know you think A, B, C, and D, but I'm going to tell you it's E, D, F, and G, and here's why, you'd be willing to listen to that?
Yes.
And what about you, Noah?
I would be willing to listen to willing to listen to.
Okay. And do you find it frustrating when you know something and you're talking to people who really don't know? How far do you go in the conversation, or do you just give up?
I try not to get frustrated when I'm talking to people, because, you know, they might not think like I do. Mm-hmm. But when you are talking about something, like, say, you know it is a fact, and when they don't agree with facts, it's like, you can't really agree or disagree. A fact is a fact. Like, mm-hmm. when something happens in history, you can't just get rid of that. It happened.
Right. I think you're absolutely right. And a lot of people do try and do that. They want to have, disregard the facts and go on. I saw a thing the other day, and I had to laugh. I'm watching social media, and I got all these videos I'm looking at because I'm trying to keep up with your generation and figure out what you're talking about. And here's this woman going off like a nut about whatever the topic was. And she was on the left, and somebody was trying to present her with facts. And she finally said something to the paraphrase of, I don't care about the facts. I care about my emotions, and how I feel about this is more important than the facts. Do you find that in your generation? And we only have a quick minute, Jack. What do you think? Do you think that's a lot of young people, or do you think that's particular young people.
I don't know if that's if everyone would come right out and say it, but I can definitely tell that there's some people that base their decisions off emotion and not more reason and thinking things through.
Okay. What about you, Noah? What do you think?
I'd agree with that. Like, they're the type of people that as soon as they're faced with a question or a challenge, they immediately choose. Like, they don't think about what's going on. They don't take a minute to say, hey, what's this side have to offer? What's this side have to offer? They just, whatever their mind tells them immediately, it's just like, boom. Right.
And I got to tell you, that doesn't change even for us dusty old dudes. There are people that, damn the facts. I believe what I believe, and I don't care what you want to tell me. And I got to say, I hope my Chasing Justice audience out there hears the hope that I hear in these young men. Here's two good, decent young men who are willing to listen to the other side, who are willing to be persuaded that there's a different way. They don't shut them off. Ask yourself about the other young people you see out there who will not listen to any fact. All right? And this is the hope I see in these guys. So I want to thank you both very much for coming on here. It's always my pleasure to talk with you guys. And as you get older and older and older, to talk with you as men is cool. I liked you when you were young kids and you played in the yard and we went to the beach and camping. That's great. But to talk to you as men, I find thrilling and exciting for me to see there is hope in the next generation. So thanks for coming on. And thank you for listening to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.